Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about Joe Biden. The drama continues. That's going to be fun. Senator Eric Schmidt is here. What do you do about Vice President Dome? All that and so much more coming up on I'm Right. You ever watch the movies? I watch the movies a lot. There's a situation you probably have seen in the movies or you've heard about it in real life. And we have the political version of that going on right now in the country. And this is the scene. Tell me if you've seen this or read a book about something like this. I have damaging information on somebody powerful, the mob or a politician or something like that. I actually don't, but still, I have damaging information. And I know that you'll kill me because I have this information. But I have an insurance policy of sorts. And the insurance policy is this. If anything should happen to me, then a letter will be dropped off at the local news station explaining in detail all of your corruption. So you better make sure no one runs over me when I'm crossing the street. You've seen that before, right? You've seen at least something conceptually like that. An insurance policy. Hey, I know you might be mad at me. You may hate me, but I've got something that means you can't get rid of me. We are in the middle of this exact situation politically in the country, and I can't take my eyes off it. I think this is fantastic. Now, it's horrible for the country. Let's be clear about that. Set aside the political drama. I just love politics. So do you. That's why you're watching. It's terrible for the country. All right, we got that. That's the disclaimer. Set that aside. Let's talk about politically what we have going. Joe Biden is a mess. You know it. I know it. We've talked about it endlessly. You saw the debate, but we didn't need the debate. We saw 3 years. He can't talk. He can't walk. He can't function. He can't do the job. I'm going to say this, and I mean it. I'm not so sure Joe Biden is going to live until the election. And it's not because I'm rooting for that or anything like that. I've known people that are going through exactly what we all think Joe Biden is going through. And when you are going through that, and it goes from bad to worse, I've personally seen this many times, you're approaching a cliff. It's not as if it's a slow, steady decline. It's going down, 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 and then broop, the cliff. Joe Biden is deteriorating rapidly, and Joe Biden, because he's deteriorating, should be resting. He should be receiving care and rest. That's how these people get by. That when you, and I hope you don't know anyone like this, but you probably do, this Alzheimer's dementia, this affects so many of us. We've all had it touch our lives in some way. What happens at the end? Rest, a calm environment, care, surrounded by loved ones, shielded from the stress of anything, really. They don't, in my experience, they don't let them watch stressful movies. It's just not, no stress, calm, care. This is a man who's going down quickly, and he's doing the most stressful job on the planet, and he's running for president. I should have probably pointed out at the beginning of the show, the Band-Aids on the fingers, those are Band-Aids. There was a small deep fryer incident at the Kelly household last night. Everyone's fine. Either way, that's what's going on. So Joe Biden's going down. He's also stressed out. And Democrats don't think he can win. We know now today, this came out of Minnesota, but the governors of America had a call, a private kind of call. How private? No staffers. No, no chief of staff, your personal assistant. No. Just us governors, just the big cheeses. And the point of this call, this is all according to Jake Tapper, was, hey, Joe Biden can't win. We need to sit down with Joe Biden. We need to talk to him. Joe Biden has to convince us he can win. There's panic across Democrat circles. He can't win. He can't win. They're getting bolder and bolder talking about it. He can't win. He's going to hurt us down ballot. He's going to do this. But all that may be true, and it is true. Maybe he can't win. Maybe he can. Keep that in mind. Don't count your chickens yet. Maybe he can't win. Maybe he can't walk. Maybe he can't talk. Maybe he is going to hurt Democrats down ballots, governors, senators, congressmen, all the way down the ballot. Maybe all these things are true. But Joe Biden has an insurance policy. Maybe he did this on purpose. I doubt that, but he certainly may have. Joe Biden has an insurance policy. Dome. Joe Biden has a vice president who is somehow less popular than he is. That's unheard of. You never see that with vice presidents because vice presidents don't even really have a job. And I understand the role of the vice president. He really doesn't have responsibilities. The vice president is just kind of there. You may like him, you may dislike him, but people don't hate the vice president more than the president until now. Kamala Harris, well, look, she did a skit for Comedy Central. I think this sums it up pretty well.
Yeah, girl, I'm out here in these streets. And let me tell you, you're right, Taraji. There is so much at stake in this moment. The majority of us believe in freedom and equality. But these extremists, as they say, they not like us.
No, they not.
I'm out here in these streets. Stop. Quit. Focus. She's a disaster. She has no personality. There's not a genuine bone in her body. She's a disaster. And you know what Joe Biden is telling donors about his campaign funds? He's telling them, hey, fine, you can get rid of me. All that money goes to Kamala. The Bidens are privately threatening people with Kamala Harris being the nominee. She may be the ultimate insurance policy. And I don't know how this is going to go. Nobody knows how this is going to go. And of course, you have this ambitious undercurrent of Democrats, the next wannabe presidents. They're all waiting. They're all having to publicly be the good soldier. No, no, I love Joe. Of course, that's just to suck up to the current guy. But they're all dying for Jill Biden to toss him off a cliff or something like that. Gretchen Whitmer is one of those people. She was thought to be a leading candidate for the presidency last time around. But they crowded her out. Didn't happen for her. And Gretchen Whitmer, she's been catching some heat recently because Gretchen Whitmer allegedly privately told people Joe Biden can't win Michigan. Well, you have to win Michigan pretty much if you want to be president of the United States of America. And look, you got Chris Wallace talking about her.
If something happened, would a Democratic candidate who had won sweeping re-election as a Midwestern governor with an impressive record of bipartisan accomplishments be an attractive candidate for president?
Sure, that sounds like a great description. That said, I am not running for president in 2024.
They're just openly flirting with her now. And of course, now the Bidens get a smell of this, and they're apparently seriously going after Gretchen Whitmer behind the scenes. And see, this is a political drama that's playing out before our eyes, and no one knows how exactly it's going to go. Can the Bidens successfully calm the fears of all those governors? Can they snuff out any of these young and up-and-comers who want to take the seat of power? Dome, Gretchen Whitmer, all of them, I don't know. It's getting more and more difficult for them to silence dissent, though. We now have Democrats, elected Democrats, going on television. Here is Representative Michael Quigley. Here he is.
But I think he has to be honest with himself. This is a decision he's going to have to make. He clearly has to understand, I think what you're getting to here is that his decision not only impacts who's going to serve in the White House the next 4 years, but who's going to serve in the Senate, who's going to serve in the House, and it will have implications for decades to come.
It sounds like you're actually open to the idea that it might be the right decision for him to step aside.
I think what I'm stressing is it has to be his decision, but we have to be honest with ourselves that it wasn't just a horrible night. But I won't go beyond that out of my respect and understanding President Joe Biden.
And look, it's not as if the Bidens are completely without allies. Most of their allies have abandoned them, but they have some still in media circles. Do they have enough? I don't know. Look, Joy-Ann Reid is dumb enough. She'll always carry that water.
Don't care about Joe Biden's age, infirmity, that he shuffled when he walked. I don't care. He could be seated for the rest of from now to election day and never get up off a chair. He could sit down. He could roll around in a wheelchair. He could be on a skateboard seated. I don't care. Donald John Trump cannot be allowed back into the White House. This ain't about Joe Biden anymore, y'all. It ain't about his policies. There are a lot of them I disagree with. There's a lot of them I disagree with deeply, deeply, morally. But it's not, it's above me now. It's above him now. You cannot allow Republicans to control the White House, the House, and the Senate, and the Supreme Court, and all of these states. You're now voting for your life. You must vote.
Those voices went out. And there's also this aspect to it. The system, does it want Joe Biden out 100%? Because listen, the argument has been made, and people argue with me about this whenever I say the system's going to push Joe Biden out. And I still believe that. I still believe they're going to push him out. But I could be wrong. And one of the great arguments people make when they'll email the show and say, Jesse, I disagree, is when they say, hey, you don't get it. Joe Biden is the gift to the system because he's just an empty shell. He's just a cadaver. And so they can do whatever they want. They surrounded him with committed communists who were destroying the country the way they've always wanted to. And Joe's just kind of out there reading whatever the dirty commies are putting on the teleprompter. And look, some of these people go on the news and they pretty much admit it.
A presidency is more than just one man, one woman. It's an administration. I would take Joe Biden his worst day at age 86. So long as he has people around him like Avril Haines, Samantha Power, Gina Raimondo supporting him over Donald Trump any day with the crowd that was behind him on January 6, 2021.
I give him credit sometimes. They're honest. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Speaking of communists being honest, by accident, of course, they've been very, very honest for about the last 48 hours since that Supreme Court decision came down saying Trump has some immunity. They've been very honest. Have you noticed? We'll talk about that in a moment. Before we talk about that, let me be honest with you. You fund communism every month. We pay our cell phone bill every month. Most of us pay it automatically, guilty as charged. You put your credit card in there and they take the money out automatically every single month. But do you make monthly payments to Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile? Have you seen the despicable things those companies do with your money? Every time you turn on the television and you're just trying to watch a football game, and it's a couple trannies running around the TV on the T-Mobile commercial. Does it go home to you that you funded it? Look, I've had all three of those companies. I funded it. Let's switch to Pure Talk and stop with that filth. You don't have to fund that grossness. You don't have to fund Black Lives Matter and Planned Parenthood and all this garbage. Pure Talk, they care about veterans. Their CEO is a veteran. They care about America so much they hire Americans, and you'll save a fortune. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I ever tell you about what I would do with a bunch of money? I did this experiment once. So let me explain. This is going to come back to politics. Just stay with me. So I did this kind of mental experiment. It's certainly not groundbreaking. Other people have done something similar. Where I said, all right, someone hands you $10 billion. The idea was unlimited money, right? $10 billion. What are you going to do with it? And let me clarify. This is going to matter. I'm not talking about the smart thing to do with it. Well, I'm going to invest a portion here, and I'm going to pay off my home. No. What are you doing fun with $10 billion? And the answers were all over the place. I'm going to fill up my pool with Skittles, go for a swim, knock yourself out. I'm going to buy a private jet. I'm going to visit every country on the planet. I'm going to fly fresh lobster in from Maine every single day. I'm going to give all mine to homeless kids. Mine, giving it away here, mine was this. This will come back to something. Stay with me. Mine was, I want to rent a yacht, a huge yacht. This will never happen, but I would rent a huge yacht, enormous, kind of with like a helicopter pad and a swimming pool on it. And I would get a whole staff on there, chefs, everything you can imagine. And then all my family, my closest friends, we're all going to get on this yacht in Hawaii or somewhere. And we're going to sail across the Pacific. And we're going to go to all the World War II Pacific islands where the battles were fought, where there will be a tour guide waiting for us, and we're going to get a personalized tour of the war in the Pacific on our yacht. That was mine. Now, stop for a second. What's the point of this experiment? What's the point of it? Well, it reveals your heart's desires, doesn't it? For better or for worse. If you're one of the people you thought about $10 billion and you thought, I'm going to help sick puppies and homeless children, congratulations, you're a really unselfish, wonderful person. Me, I of course only thought about myself. And I thought to myself, no, I want to be pampered. That's what it shows. Doesn't it show that about me? I want someone to wait on me. I'm not cleaning the toilet. Go get my jet skis. I want someone to cook for me. It also reveals that I love the water, and I do. I love boats. I've never been on a big yacht, but I love boats. I love the ocean. I love the lake. It reveals that about me. It reveals that I have an affinity for the military. of course, World War II history. Why would you do that with unlimited money? It reveals that about me. I love history. It reveals that about me. I love travel. It reveals that about me. Now, I want to talk to you about this Supreme Court ruling. Supreme Court rules that Donald Trump is partially immune. Not all the way immune. He's immune for any official acts he takes as president of the United States. A very basic ruling. And I have no doubt, if you watch television, if you spent any time on social media, that you saw echoes of this and are still seeing echoes of this all day long. This is a member of Congress.
I guess, you know, theoretically, President Biden, acting within the scope of his official duties, could dispatch the military to take out the conservative justices on the court, and he'd be immune.
It was across the spectrum. Look, I could sit here for the next hour and play all of this for you. There's a Democrat on social media, Democrat after Democrat, talking about Joe Biden sending SEAL Team 6 to take out Trump. But isn't that interesting if you stop and really think about that? Why is that the first thing they thought about? I mean, if you were to hand me total immunity as president, which is not what he has, but if you were to hand me total immunity as president, I will tell you right off the bat, what are my instincts? Just like my $10 billion, what are my instincts there? My instincts are, well, I would fire almost every federal employee and I would eliminate pretty much every government agency, you name it, FBI, NSA, EPA, all of them gone, everyone fired immediately. If you gave me unlimited power and told me I could do whatever I wanted without consequence as president, that's what I would do. But it doesn't appear that that's what they would do. You know why? Because the first thing that came to all of their minds was, I guess we could murder someone then. Well, we should use the military, I guess, and murder people. Hey, let's murder people with the military. That in poker is what's known as a tell. You see, that was the first fear that came to mind of every dirty communist in the United States of America, because that's exactly what every single one of these people would do with that power if they had the ability to do so. And this is so hard for people to understand and accept. Violence, political violence, it is not what the communist does. It's who he is. It's who he is. It is woven into him. Mao famously said, all political power comes from the barrel of a gun. And that is how they live. And why? Let's discuss the why really quickly. We're going to move on. We have all kinds of stuff, senator here and everything else. Why is it this way? Because communism is now and has always been a revolutionary religion. The idea is, here's something. Here's a society of some kind. It must be destroyed. Well, if I were to put a big, beautiful statue up in front of you, made of stone, and I told you to destroy it, is there a nonviolent way to do that? Of course there's not. If you're going to destroy something that's there, a powerful existing structure, it's going to require violence. Maybe you're going to take a sledgehammer to it. Maybe you're going to wrap it in demo cord. Maybe you're going to drop a bomb on it. But there's going to be violence. That is why it's the first instinct of Democrats, because Democrats in this country now are all dirty, violent, filthy communists. And it's why your liberal Aunt Peggy said the same thing all those scumbags said. Well, I guess we can use the military to kill Trump. It's the first thing that came to her mind, because it's the first thing she'd do if she could. That also may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, you know what makes me uncomfortable is these dirty coffee companies. These coffee companies who violate our values all the time. It's one of the worst industries out there, as far as one that suffers from communist infestation is really what it is. They're the worst. So you got to work. It takes effort to go out there and find one that shares your values. The best one is Blackout Coffee. Blackout Coffee doesn't just share our values, they promote our values. They promote our values. God, guns, America. These are not things they kind of whisper behind closed doors. They print it on their merchandise. Blackout Coffee brags about fighting for the things you and I care about. You want 20% off your first order? BlackoutCoffee.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Nafok, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We should pull the curtain back on what's actually happening, shouldn't we? People are exploring options to live in other countries if they think they could be targeted for prosecution by Donald Trump, because targeting you or targeting me or targeting Andrew would be an official act based on today's decision.
Is targeting Nicole Wallace on the table? Because if it is, somebody grab me my MAGA hat. Joining me now, great senator from the state of Missouri, former AG, and somebody who really led the way in that role in the state of Missouri, Eric Schmidt, joining us now. Senator, self-awareness is not exactly these people's strong suit. They've been locking up their political opponents for 3 years now, but they're worried that shoe might be on the other foot one day.
Yeah, I think the reaction is pretty telling here, Jesse. It's unbelievable. I mean, the things that they're worried about is exactly what Joe Biden is doing right now with his weaponized Justice Department. I mean, I think we ought to push back really hard on this. When they talk about these so-called threats to democracy, the reality is Joe Biden is the one that has censored Americans. Joe Biden is the one trying to put his political opponent in jail for the rest of his life. And Joe Biden has ushered in an invasion of this country to the tune of 10 million people they want to turn into voters. So every accusation here is a projection on their part. And the Supreme Court's decision yesterday on this immunity issue was entirely predictable. I mean, the idea that you would be immune from criminal prosecution for an official act is something people just assumed. It was never an issue until, of course, Jack Smith was called out from the bullpen by Joe Biden to jail his political opponent. So it really is remarkable, the reaction to all this. But I think it's also telling, Jesse, is really what this is about is creating a lot of drama so that they can ultimately pack the United States Supreme Court. That's what they want to do. They want to delegitimize the court so they can pack it if they ever get the chance.
What's the angle there? It seems fairly obvious. The angle is you pack the court that way. The final thing that's been holding you back from doing all the awful things you want to do, it kind of goes away. I mean, FDR was threatened to do this back in the day because he was a dirty commie too. Is that all this comes down to?
That's what I think it's about. It's about power and control. Yeah. We're not having debates anymore, Jesse, about what should the marginal tax rate be with Democrats. They literally want to get control so they can eliminate the filibuster, pack the court, add D.C. as a state, federalize elections, and have open borders and amnesty. That is their agenda. There's no hiding it. And I'll tell you, I've been in the Senate for a year and a half. I've seen it firsthand. When the impeachment articles came over of Secretary Mayorkas, every single time, 22 times in our nation's history that's happened, the Senate has always conducted a trial, except this one. Chuck Schumer just decided, along with the Democrats, they were going to table this thing and not have a trial. They don't care about the rules. They don't care about the law. They don't care about norms. It's about power and control. So you better believe they'll exercise that power when they have it, just like they, you know, because Donald Trump is such a threat to democracy, they have to destroy democracy. It's totally insane.
Senator, I'm going to ask you, I guess it's probably more of an opinion or a personal question, but you're there in the belly of the beast now. Can the Democrat Party be saved? And I'm not asking for the party to align with me and my values. I'm not naive, but I don't know how we can put Humpty Dumpty back together again if one of the two political parties is now committed to all the things you just laid out. I mean, the border alone. If one of the two political parties, every time they take the White House, flood the country with 12 million illegals from every third world dump on the planet, I don't know how we can save this place. Can the Democrat Party be saved?
I sure hope so as an American. I'm a conservative, I'm a Republican, but as an American, I hope so. I mean, you'd like to have another functioning party that doesn't hate America. And doesn't want to teach our kids that America is inherently evil and doesn't believe in a lot of the things that they believe in right now. I think it's going to take an election cycle or two, quite frankly, for them to get some electoral beatdowns before they kind of have a come to Jesus moment about what is working, what's not working. It could be that this squad getting defeated in some of these primaries may be a sign. But I don't know. It's I don't see it yet, Jesse, but I sure hope so. I mean, I really do, because I think that if we could just have a rational discussion about it used to be no one disagreed that funding police departments was a good thing. Like, we're actually debating that with the other side right now, right? Or this sort of child mutilation stuff. Nobody used to argue about that, but they've gotten, you know, so far down the road here that I think it's going to take some electoral beatdowns, like I said.
Yeah, I think so too. Senator, have you ever injured yourself while cooking? I ask because I have two Band-Aids on my finger. Me and my sons decided to deep fry last night for the first time. And as you can tell, it didn't go all that well. Have you ever hurt yourself in the kitchen?
I have. I've burned a finger or two. But I've not like thrown out a shoulder or sprained an ankle. But I think what the injury that you're referencing is perfectly normal. I wouldn't go overboard with this.
All right, I cannot possibly have you on my show without letting you spike the football a little on Murthy versus Missouri, because this is your baby. What happened here?
Well, they punted on standing. They didn't deny that all the censorship that was happening actually happened. The lower court called it Orwellian and a vast censorship enterprise. So, you know, I'm proud of the fact that this was exposed. And I think, Jesse, it's important to go back in time. That case was brought before Elon Musk had bought Twitter, before the Twitter files, before these investigative hearings. So we brought to light, we took the deposition of Elvis Chan, the FBI agent who knew the Hunter Biden laptop was real and engaged in election interference. You know, we exposed Fauci and his deposition for basically saying that masks are ineffective. There's a lot of important things that came out of that. But I do think it's important to move forward. I've got legislation now, Jesse, that would say, If any government actor, any bureaucrats engaged in censorship or working with these social media companies to silence dissent, you can sue them individually. You as an American can sue them individually. I think we've got to change the culture so that they don't get to hide behind these massive agencies. And the only thing the courts can tell them to do is stop it. So it's a very important case. I still think it's one of the most important free speech cases. I wish they would have reached the merits of the case, but they punted it on standing.
Can we fix the GOP? Obviously, I yell about what a bunch of weak losers these guys are most of the time, but there are some, yourself included, who give me hope. It does seem like maybe the next generation is got some teeth and a little bit more guts than the previous ones didn't. I know it doesn't happen as fast as I want, probably as fast as you want, but Is it happening just slowly?
I do. I think that, look, I think if, you know, it's important for us to take the majority, not just to get the majority, but we got to do something with it. And that's certainly something that I'm preaching to my colleagues and around the country when I campaign for people. People expect us to go up there and fight for the things that they believe in and not just to hold positions of power. That doesn't matter to me. I mean, we got a country to save. And I think that if our agenda aligns with where our voters are at, we're going to do just fine. And by the way, that's how we win. I think we lose when we sort of try to be Democrat light here. So I'm hopeful. I'm glad that we're sort of a multi-ethnic working class party now. I think that gives us the ability to go fight for real people. And I think this Washington bubble that exists isn't healthy, and it's a sort of a distraction from where our people are at.
Yeah, I agree. The working class GOP sounds good to me. Senator, thank you so much. I appreciate you very much. All right. Look, I know what you're probably sitting there saying to yourself. Jesse, I'm so worried about your fingers. Did you have trouble sleeping? Well, I actually thought to myself as I was in agony with these blisters on my fingers, I thought to myself last night, I bet I'm not going to be able to sleep because it hurt. But then I realized, wait a minute, I have dream powder. I always have dream powder in the house, and I know what you're thinking. What is this magical stuff? Well, it's all natural. You should know it's from Beam. It's natural stuff, melatonin, things like that. It's hot chocolate. Mine is cinnamon chocolate. I warm up a little glass of milk, a little cup of coffee worth of milk, and I just pour a scoop of that in there. And as my wife and I are talking, whatever we're doing before bed, sip on a little cup of hot chocolate, and then boom, I'm out. But that's not the most important part. The most important part is when I wake up, fingers or not, I feel like $1 million. You want to sleep like that? Go to shopbeam.com/JesseKelly and you'll sleep like that. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing we're not considering for November, we talk about swing states all the time, is Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. These are the states you really need. But does Joe Biden drop enough in the polls that maybe Trump wins a state or two that he really shouldn't? I don't know. I guess we're going to find out. I know that as we stand right now, Joe Biden is down in New Hampshire. What? So because he's down in a state he should win, surely Joe Biden is rushing over there to New Hampshire to do a couple campaign events and poop his pants on stage and then go back home, right? But no, they are sending one Gavin Newsom to New Hampshire.
It's odd. Joining me now, one Julie Hamel. I love that she's an attorney with the California Policy Center, but I love more that she is on her school board, as we all should be. Julie, I would have sworn that slick-haired freak was the governor of California. What's he doing back east?
That's a great question, and it's a great description, unfortunately. My sense of why they're trotting out Gavin Newsom right now is because he is a slick talker. He is talented at acting and selling stories. If anyone took a look at his actual record and what he has done to the state of California and to families like mine, they would run for the hills. But to me, this is all about image, selling a message. Joe Biden obviously is incapable of selling the Democrat message to anyone at this point. And so they need somebody out there who can get in front of cameras, talk to people, and sell a story. So that is what he's doing.
Okay, Julie, before we go any further with that loser, tell us how it's been in California underneath his guidance.
Well, someone put it in a very, I can't remember who said this, but they said California is such a beautiful state with so many natural resources. It has all of these things you actually have to try to ruin California and to send people out in such mass that we ran out of U-Hauls at one point. Like, you could not get a U-Haul to leave California because so many people were leaving. And for me, you know, before 2020, I knew that California politics were a little bit crazy, but I wasn't really involved. But then in 2020, it came for my family, and it really harmed my children, who were very young at the time. I had a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 9-month-old when COVID started. And, you know, they were kept out of school. I could not work. I could not earn an income. I was constantly trying to talk to my elected officials. No one would talk to me. No one would take my calls. I had my county supervisor had her animal control deputy respond to me. Yes, true story. But Gavin Newsom, you know, he is the leader of our state. He put in place a state of emergency that he held on to for, I believe, over 3 years, well after there was no longer an emergency or a crisis. And when I first knew that all of these decisions that were harming my family were all politically motivated was when I tried to get my kids back into school. And I was trying to advocate to see if maybe we could reclassify the lower grades in elementary as a childcare center, because under Gavin Newsom's rules, you could send a kid to a school building to watch Zoom under the supervision of a childcare provider, but you could not send your child to that same building to be taught by a teacher. And the only difference between a child care provider and a teacher is the union. There's no risk difference for COVID. It's union politics. Union politics drove that decision. And I knew at that moment, this is a man who cannot be trusted. He is not making decisions that are in the best interest of his constituents and people like me. He's laughing in our faces. He's going to the French Laundry. He's going to the NFL games. He went to the Super Bowl. He's not wearing a mask when my kids are being forcibly masked for 8 hours a day. That outdoor mask mandate went on through 2022. I can go on and on for hours, but I'll stop there.
Is that how you ended up on a school board, Julie?
Pretty much. So in February of 2022 is when I sort of lost my mind. I stopped being this private citizen, you know, trying to just take care of my own family because I realized nobody was coming to save us. Nobody was on my school board. We had one person who was trying to help and speak out, but the vast majority of the board was not listening. They didn't care that their policies were harming children. And in February of 2022, we had the NFL championship in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium. And at that time, we had this outdoor mask mandate, and they were about to have the Super Bowl at SoFi. And a bunch of us got together, and we had a press conference outside of SoFi Stadium. And we were saying, basically, if COVID is so dangerous that you have to mask toddlers for 8 hours a day, then how can you justify bringing 70,000 people into SoFi Stadium to watch the Super Bowl? I think the difference was, you know, these are all rich, wealthy people who they never really had to abide by mandates and ridiculous policies that were implemented by our government. That's why they were allowed to get away with it. Also, there was no need for an outdoor mask mandate ever. But getting back to the school board issue, it was around that time where it was very clear to me that nobody was going to save my kids or my family or my schools. And so I decided to run for the school board. And I started speaking out very vocally on Twitter about things that were considered controversial, but were just common sense, rational points of view. You know, I had been to Florida for a bachelorette party in the fall of 2021, and I saw people living normal lives. They were going to clubs, they were going to businesses, everything was open, and people weren't dying en masse. And then I came back to LA, and it was a complete 180, a complete contrast. And all I wanted to do was restore normalcy and get my kids back into school and live a normal life where I could work and earn an income and just be a free human being.
How about that? I'm glad you did it. I'm not glad you did a bachelorette party, because there's nothing more annoying in the world than a bachelorette party. But I am glad you ran for school board. That is for sure. Tell me about Prop 47. What is it?
So Prop 47 went into effect, I believe, in 2016 or 2014. But it does a number of things that we can consider soft on crime. It was a Soros-backed measure. And one of the things it did was it said, okay, if you steal things from a store, but the value is less than $950, this is a misdemeanor, and we're not going to charge it as a felony. And as a result, we have had a massive uptake in retail crime that law enforcement has admitted they can't do anything about it. And it's, you combine Prop 47 with the reclassification of felonies as misdemeanors, with people like George Gascon, who is the Soros-backed DA in Los Angeles County. And when Soros took office, he announced a policy where he said, I'm not gonna charge any juveniles with a misdemeanor. So when you combine that with Prop 47, this means it's absolute free reign for kids, for troubled teens, to steal whatever they want from the mall, from local shops, from jewelry stores. And that's been happening. That has been happening. So in California, a group of citizens got together to create a citizen-backed initiative to overturn Prop 47 and to restore basically tough on crime policies, including holding fentanyl dealers responsible for the thousands of deaths that they have caused in our state. And, you know, the Democrats like to pretend that California is safe, San Francisco isn't dangerous, these cities are thriving. It is an absolute disgusting mess. It is so sad to go walk around the streets of downtown LA and the streets of San Francisco and see people suffering. And all of these things really can be attributed to soft on crime policies, this you know, housing first approach to homelessness, where they're not requiring people to get treatment for drug addiction or mental health problems. And this sort of end Prop 47 reform measure that the citizens had qualified for the ballot is going to address a lot of these issues. But as you may have heard, our governor, for a reason that I cannot understand and he has not articulated, has decided that he doesn't want this citizen reform of Prop 47. And so right now he is maneuvering with our state legislature to try and put something to compete with it on the ballot in November. And in so doing, he has violated constitutional principles, rules of procedure, statutory rules. He's sort of just discarding all of this process in order to get his way, because he does not want the citizens to end Prop 47.
Yeah, that sounds just like that dirt ball. Julie, appreciate you very much. You come back anytime. That was awesome. was awesome. We're going to do Lighten the Mood. You ready to lighten the mood? Next.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what's awesome? What's always entertaining, I should say, as we get ready to lighten the mood here, watching people get smeared. I don't know why. I'm sure it probably reflects poor on me as a person, but I can't help it. When you're watching football, and some dude just gets wiped out. It's awesome. When you see some streaker on the baseball field, football field, how many times have we played you these? And he jukes out a couple security guards, and then eventually, boom, somebody just nails him. It's awesome. And it's always a good time watching some dirtball criminal get just crushed by a cop.
He's at the wrong...
Man, he needs to hide on me.
He's gonna stick on the road. He's gonna
stick on the road.
Let go of my knee.
That's some shit right there.
Stop.
All right. That was beautiful. Dads, moms, put your sons in wrestling. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.